And 3, 2. Hey guys, I hope everyone had a fantastic break. As most of you are aware, it has been quite busy here at Pines and Puzzles headquarters, but I wanted to give you a quick episode with a few updates just to ease us back into 2017. First, a quick housekeeping note. I'm still sticking with the bi-weekly release schedule going forward. However, I am going to add bonus episodes for our quote-unquote off weeks. These episodes will be shorter and focus more on the pint side of things and feature either a sample pack or a brewery. So, for those of you that are more beer-centric, or if you just like hearing these tranquil tones in your ears, please enjoy. Now, maybe I'm getting soft here with having a daughter now, but I did want to give a Pints and Puzzles shout out to all of you with a special mention to my fellow podcasters out there. Now, I've gotten to know some of these fine folks as both mentors and friends, and I can honestly say that the podcasting community is extremely unique to me. There's a lot of really awesome people out there who are willing to help out or just BS with you. And you know what? They don't care how famous you are or they are. Even those ones with the blue check marks, Bob Ruff. Maybe that's just been my exposure, but you ladies and gentlemen are really an awesome crew across the board. With that said, I still maintain my original list of recommendations, both on quality of the shows and hosts as well. In no particular order, Astonishing Legends, Nighttime Podcast, Mad Scientist, in the Pints and Puzzles genre, and of course, Military Justice, Actual Innocence, Off Duty, and Truth and Justice in the what I'm calling Justice League genre. Two new ones I have to the above list are Crime and Precedence, which takes a look at some of the more pivotal cases behind many of the true crime podcasts out there. The host Lisa does a phenomenal job in both content and quality and makes the content palatable even for us non-lawyers out there. The other one is Twisted Philly. The host Dina is part history teacher, part true crime host, and a great storyteller to boot. It's kind of like listening to somebody write a book, and it's really great. Plus, there's a nice Philly twist to both coverage of the cases as well as attitude of the show. Yes, that Philly attitude does come with a language advisory, but it's a really fun listen if you're interested. Other than being awesome people and supporters, these shows are still what I would consider quote-unquote independent, despite their audience size. There seems to be a slightly unnerving trend towards some production house produced shows, which I do admit are also on my playlist, but I wanted to make sure that we keep the indie podcasters in the same pool. I'm going to spend a minute picking up the names I just dropped, and then we'll get right into the show. Welcome to episode 5 of Pints and Puzzles. This will be the first of a handful of listener-submitted or inspired cases that are on deck for upcoming episodes. And it was brought to my attention by a longtime friend of the show, Mrs. Jennifer Kern. Jen has asked me to cover something in the politics or political realm, and while politics is one of the two areas I generally will not discuss on the show, other one being the Kardashians, this is as close as I can get. Officially, Pints and Puzzles, as a brand, has no opinion on politics. That said, there are plenty of other groups out there and people throughout history that have had extremely strong political views and opinions on how society should be governed. But what if this New World Order, as some call it, has their master plan hidden in plain sight? And what if that plan is right here in the United States? Enter the Georgia Guide Zones.
What's a podcast?
Find me a podcast.
You're listening to. You're listening to my dad. Podcast shows the best.
It was June of 1979 when a mysterious man walked into the Elberton Granite Finishing Company in Elberton, Georgia. The man claimed to, quote, represent a small group of loyal Americans, and presented the manager with plans for an exceptionally large and fairly complicated stone structure. This mystery man explained that the structure he had in mind was to serve as a compass, calendar, and clock, and to be capable of withstanding the most catastrophic events. Now, of course, at first, no one took the man seriously, as a project of this magnitude had never been done, in Elberton County, Georgia, at least. After some credibility checks, as well as a substantial down payment, the man's credentials were verified, and what would later be known as America's Stonehenge was built and revealed to a crowd of 400 a year later. Now, of course, there was some debate as to whether the crowd was 2 or 400. Funny how history repeats itself. So what kind of scale are we talking about here? Each of the four outer rocks was over 16 feet high, 6.5 feet wide, and over 1.5 feet thick. So this translates to roughly over 20 tons each, with the center column being basically the same, but about half the width. Now, all five of these columns support a 25,000-pound capstone.
That's a big Twinkie.
Now, as we all know, size isn't everything. Here's where the story gets even more interesting. There were a few strategic cuts in the stone, including a hole drilled into the center support stone that's always in line with the North Star. Additionally, there is a cutout section of the capstone, which allows the sun to come through at exactly noon every single day. Okay, enough of the really gripping stuff. So far, we have a really big bunch of stones with a couple of strange but precise intricacies added in there. So what's the big deal? Why did a mysterious stranger, use a pseudonym by the way, spend a lot of money to put a bunch of huge stones into a random field in the middle of Georgia? And why have some called them the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist? We'll take a look after the break. Some of you may be confused as to how a startup woman's accessory company fits into a show like Pints and Puzzles. Well, the honest answer is, it's not top secret information that our sponsor Fulton for Life is the brainchild of my amazing wife. Other than producing amazing children, she's also able to create some amazing products that are high quality while still maintaining small business pricing. As always, if you go to fultonforlife.com and use promo code PINTS at checkout, you'll get an additional 10% off your order, which is a great deal in and of itself. But here's a really cool thing. Now, as a guy, I carry either a wallet or a billfold and just throw it into whatever pants I have and then head out the door. What I've learned, though, is that most women don't have this luxury and don't keep a wallet in their pants, thus they need options. Now, oftentimes this involves transferring cards and cash from one wallet or purse to the next, and an important card will fall out or, worse yet, go missing. Fulton for Life has just launched a brand new line called their Wally. This is a convertible clutch / crossbody bag with a wallet insert for your cards and cash. So there's no more time or money literally lost to transferring bags. Just remove the insert from the wallet and put it in wallet B, or heck, just take it with you as is for a quick trip. They have pictures up on fultonforlife.com that do a way better job explaining this. So go ahead and check that out. And while you're there, you can also pre-order your very own Wally wallet. You thought Jolly Rancher wrapper was a tough thing to say. That's fultonforlife.com for all of your shopping needs. So what's the deal with these guidestones? Yeah, that was bad. Sorry. Nonetheless, I think it's important to talk about what exactly is on the guidestones. There's shorter text listed on the sides of the capstone in the middle stating, "Let these be guidestones to an age of reason." And that's written in Egyptian hieroglyphics, Greek, Sanskrit, and Babylonian. Now, the guidestones themselves also have 10 guides listed on them, which are engraved in 8 of the world's most popular languages. So those were English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, Chinese, and Russian. I've gone ahead and grouped these into semi-logical order, so they're not in the order in which they appear on the guidestones. First up is what I would call more universal guidelines, which are balance personal rights with social duties, prize truth, beauty, and love, seeking harmony with the infinite, and be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature. The next group fall into more of a political realm. Maybe some of us in the U.S. at least should get a notepad out for some of these. Protect the people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Unite humanity with a living new language. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. And lastly, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Now, so far, these are pretty innocuous, fairly straightforward, and probably not bad advice on a lot of these, to be honest. It's the final two guides that are what causes all the controversy. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity, and maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Maintain humanity under 500 million? Let's get the tinfoil hats ready, people. Now, when you construct a giant stone structure from a secret group of beneficiaries, with their point person being a man using the pseudonym RC Christian, by the way, you are bound to trigger all kinds of alarms. Most notable of which, everyone's favorite conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones. Now, Mr. Jones claims the stones call for the mass extinction and culling of humans. I can just hear it in his voice now. While we're on the topic, please don't let the Alex Joneses of the world define your view of a conspiracy theorist. In fact, Merriam-Webster's dictionary actually defines the term conspiracy theory as, quote, a theory that explains an event or set of circumstances as the result of a secret plot by usually powerful conspirators, end quote. Thus, a conspiracy theorist is simply someone who holds one of these theories. Oh, and for the record, the term has been around since at least 1871, so it was not invented by the CIA in the mid-1960s. However, the negative connotation may have been put in place around then. But hey, that's just a conspiracy theory, right? Before you take those hats off fully, one more thing I've only mentioned once thus far was the pseudonym used by the mysterious man at the crux of the story. That is of R.C. Christian. Now, he claimed to have chosen this name for the simple fact that he's a Christian. However, some on the theorist side of things have speculated that the pseudonym was a nod towards Christian Rosenkreuz of the Rosicrucian fame. I could quite literally do a whole episode on this group, but for the uninitiated, they are simply a group similar to the Freemasons. As such, they have also enjoyed their fair share of speculation and over-embellished conspiracy stories associated with them throughout the years. I'm going to get into my personal take of things in just a second, but I do encourage you all to do your own research into the Rosicrucians, or of course you could check out the Podfathers over at Astonishing Legends, who recently touched upon the Rosicrucians in part 3 of their Count of Saint Germain series. As for my take on the Guidestones, I will concede that some of the guides have a nefarious tone to them, and the fact that there's 10 of them is certainly not a great coincidence. There also may absolutely be something to the Rosicrucian connection based on R.C. Christian's pseudonym and the secrecy behind these stones. Add a lot of money to the mix, and it definitely screams secret society to me as well. However, this is where I start to break away from the fringe a little bit. Just because something is secret does not mean it's necessarily evil or sinister. I think as a society, we don't like secrets or things hidden from us. Thus, we're pretty quick to put unfair labels on some of these groups. In fact, if you look into most of them, they're simply just clubs that are trying to take members to the next level of enlightenment. Now, does that mean that they have some kind of higher knowledge or skill set that us average people aren't ready for? Possibly, sure, but not necessarily evil. I can totally see one of those groups backing a project like the Georgia Guidestones, not so much as a suggestion for what we should do with the current state of the world, but more as a safety net should the inevitable happen. As the show Brad Meltzer's Decoded rightfully points out, this was 1979/1980, pretty much the peak of the Cold War, where these type of apocalyptic events were at the forefront of most people's minds. On that note, I think that'll about do it for us for our first episode of 2017. So whether you're new to the show or a loyal listener, I thank you so much for joining me tonight and for all the ongoing support. There are a lot of really cool items planned for this year, and it makes it extra fun for me to do when I have such an interactive fan base. As always, feel free to drop me a line on the Twitters at Pints and Puzzles and let me know what you'd like to hear going forward, as I really do love these listener-inspired formats. Lastly, as we transition to the pint side of things, I will ask you guys to stay tuned for a special contest with an awesome new way of interacting with the show using the brand new Brewsite app. Don't forget to tip your servers, and I'll talk to you later. Before we get into tonight's beer review, I do want to remind everyone that we will be doing quick mini flight episodes as bonus content for you beer people, so keep an eye out on your feeds for those. Secondly, I want to talk for a minute about a new app I came across called Brewsite. So that's Brewzeit. Brewsite is a new app for rating and sharing beers and locating them at stores, bars, and restaurants. So this app focuses more on the experience of having a beer rather than the beer experts that are on other beer review websites and apps. So think of it more like Pints and Puzzles type of a review rather than a beer judge review. The app is designed more to point out what's good and what's bad and to make sure you and your friends repeat the good ones and avoid the bad ones. Anyway, it's a really well-designed app and way more chill than some of the other big-name ones out there. Plus, you all know how I feel about supporting people's independent projects. With all that said, I'm going to run a little contest of sorts. So what you need to do is this. Download the Brewsite app, then tag Pints and Puzzles on your first review and post it to Twitter. If all of those things happen, I will happily send you a pair of Pints and Puzzles coasters in the mail. And go. Now that we have an unofficial beer sponsor of sorts, I thought tonight's first beer was one that I found on the Brewsite app, and I got that as part of my Pick 6 pack at my local grocery store, actually. So I know that the Pick 6s aren't always the cheapest options, but I do highly recommend them for people wanting to branch out and try some new beers without throwing away a whole case of beer that they don't enjoy. Which, by the way, always tweet your favorite podcast before disposing of any beer. Just saying. Tonight's beer is Black and Black from the 21st Amendment Brewery. It's a black IPA with 6.8% alcohol and 65 IBUs. And IBUs, for you non-beer people listening, is the bitterness scale. So it was my first black IPA, which is very confusing. First time you have it, but in a really good way. So it gets slightly hoppy smell, zero hop taste, a little IPA bitter in the beginning, but then you start getting into some of the dark beer flavors. And when you hit those, the dark beer part doesn't have the typical kind of chocolate coffee mix that you get with most stouts. Rather, it's just more that roasted malty flavor. So I'd call it a dark beer with just slightly more hoppy flavor to it. As far as distribution goes, it's made out in California, and I can get it all the way out in Pennsylvania. So you pretty much should be able to get it nationwide if you want to give it a shot. So I think that'll just about do it for us here at Pints and Puzzles headquarters. Have a great night, and be safe, y'all. Take care.
That was pretty awesome. That was totes amazing. Wowers. That's really great.
Great.